Good morning. Good to see everyone out this morning. Good to be here. Thank you for being here. The title of our lesson this morning comes from Peter, 1 Peter 2:5. And we are called a lot of things in the New Testament. Christians, children of God, saints, disciples. We don't hear this one too often from 1 Peter 2:5, but Peter calls us as the body of Christ a holy priesthood. Now, some versions say holy priests. And of course, when we think of a priest, we don't think of a regular Christian. I think the Catholic system, we think of the priest in the Catholic system. But this is the truth right here. 1 Peter 2:5, Peter calls us a holy priesthood. He is addressing this to Christians, and he calls us a holy priesthood. So that's kind of an interesting name we are given. And so hopefully you're interested in why we are called that. And so that's what we're going to talk about in this lesson. Well, this name, this title goes back to the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, we had priests, and their duties were to offer up animal sacrifices to God. And the purpose of these animal sacrifices was to provide atonement for the people, forgiveness of sins for the people. And so if we read back in Leviticus, Moses writes in Leviticus, "Then the priest shall kill the goat of sin offering, which is for the people. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions for all their sins." So these animal sacrifices were given as an offering for the atonement or the forgiveness of the sins of the people. Now these animal sacrifices would also foretell the perfect sacrifice that would come, the foreshadowing of our Lord and Savior's sacrifice, his ultimate sacrifice, and the fact that there would no longer be needed to be any more sacrifices. So the Hebrew writer writes, "Not with the blood of goats and of calves, but with his own blood, Jesus entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption." And then also we find in Hebrews, Christ does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For Christ did this once for all when he offered up himself. So the Old Testament animal sacrifices of priests was a foretell the ultimate once and for all sacrifice of Christ. Now, back to that term again. We are called holy priests in some versions, or a holy priesthood. Why is that? And the answer is, God still expects us to offer sacrifices today. Not animal sacrifices, but spiritual ones. These sacrifices are not for the same purpose, though, in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the priest would offer sacrifices for the forgiveness of sin. These sacrifices offer our expression of love and thanksgiving for God's mercy and grace. And so we go back to our scripture reading in 1 Peter 2:5. Peter addresses Christians when he says, "You are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Now, I know the question that you all now have is, well, what is he talking about here? What are these spiritual sacrifices we are to offer? Well, we are called, I'm going to get this right here in a second. Okay. We are called as God's children, a holy priesthood. And our purpose is to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. And so the obvious question that follows then is, what spiritual sacrifices are we to offer today? So the first scripture I want to bring us to is Romans 12:1-2. Paul writes to us that we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So he says we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, what exactly does that mean? No, it doesn't mean sacrifice our bodies, our physical bodies. But it means we are to sacrifice our lives, what we do, our purpose in life should be to serve God. We are to conform to His will and not the world's, because we will always be tempted to conform to the will of the world, to Satan. We're always tempted with that. And I think it's also interesting that Paul says this is your reasonable service, is to give up your whole life to God. That is your reasonable service, to give it up. Give it up to God. And so this is one of the spiritual sacrifices that we are to offer to God, and that is to give Him our lives, to make Him the most important thing in our life, to consider His will in every decision that we make. And we make thousands of decisions every day. But we need to consider what He would want us to do every day. And that's our reasonable sacrifice. And that is a spiritual sacrifice that we can offer to God. Another spiritual sacrifice we are to offer is our love for one another. Now, the world tosses this around. The world tosses this word around a lot. You know, love means a lot of things to a lot of different people. But the greatest love is agape love. And agape love is a sacrificial love, because agape love doesn't consider itself. It considers the person that's loved. And that's what Christ did. And we are to imitate Christ and walk in love as Christ loved us. And He gave Himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. If we are God's children, then we need to act that way. We need to love like God loves. And we need to be merciful like God is merciful. And we need to be graceful like God is graceful. We need to be like Him if we want to be His children. And especially in love. Because the greatest love is to lay down your life for the people around you. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. John says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." That's our purpose, people. No matter what your age here, if you want to know why you're here, the reason you're here is to lay down your life for the people around you, for your family, for your friends, for the church, for the lost, for your neighbors. You know, there is no greater love than to lay down your life for the people around you. And that is a sacrificial love. And that's the way Christ loved us. He put His needs ahead. He put our needs ahead of His own. It could have been easy for Him to say, "Man, this is too much. You know, I've got to die for you. And you don't even deserve it. You know, you're sinful. We are sinful." But that's what Christ did. He laid down His life for us. We didn't deserve it. And that's how we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be like Christ. We're supposed to be imitators of God as dear children. We are to be like Christ. We are to love the way Christ loved, and that is to lay down our lives for one another. That's our purpose in life. Another spiritual sacrifice we're to offer is our praise and thanksgiving to God through prayer and singing. We are to offer our praise to God. I love singing. We can praise our God through singing as well as edifying one another. But the Hebrew writer writes, "Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him." This is going to sound like a dumb question, but why should we praise God? It is kind of a dumb question. But the answer is given by James, because I think we can be deceived. You know, we can be fooled into thinking that somehow all the good things that we have in our lives is because of what we did. That's what Satan will try to get you to believe, that all the good things that are happening to you in your life is because of you. You're just a good guy, and that's why good things are happening to you. But that's not the case. James says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." There is nothing good that we have that hasn't come from God. There is nothing good that we have that has not come from God. He and He alone is responsible for all the goodness in our lives. And unlike people, He can always be relied on for His goodness that He brings us, who does not change like a shifting shadow. God will always give us good things. And I'll talk to you, the parents here. You know, as you held your newborn in your arms, you know, every new parent wants the same thing for their children. They want all the good things for their children that they could possibly give them. That's exactly like God. He wants all the good things that He could give us. And leave nothing out. That's how God feels about us. And that's why we should praise Him and give Him our love, give Him our life. And that is a spiritual sacrifice, to offer praises of thanksgiving, thanking God every day, thanking Him through the songs that we sing, the prayers that we lead. That's a spiritual sacrifice. And finally, we are to offer as spiritual sacrifice simply to do good. See, it's really simple. Kids, it's really simple. What does God want you to do? He wants you to be good. He wants you to do good. It's pretty simple. That's a spiritual sacrifice. The Hebrew writer says, don't forget to do good. There's a lot of different ways to do good. We can share our resources with other people, our time, our money, our talents. We can share. But it says, when we do good, such sacrifices, God is well pleased with. God is well pleased when we're good, when we're looking out for other people, when we're trying to do good. And we are to offer to share what we have with others. The money that was sent to the Apostle Paul was described as a sweet-smelling aroma. And Paul wrote in Philippians, he says, "Indeed," after he received these funds, he says, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you." And he called that gift a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. It was well-pleasing that those folks did good to Paul and helped him out. Now, priests of the Old Testament, they were to offer animal sacrifices according to a very specific set of rules. And as God's holy priests today, I know that's kind of an unusual title, it's not only important what spiritual sacrifices we offer, but it's important how we offer them. It's important to God how we offer our sacrifices. They must be acceptable to God. So that means there's a certain way we need to offer them. Going back to our text here. To be acceptable to God, our offerings must be that the best, they must be the best we can give. Our offerings must be the best we can give. Now, in Malachi's time, there were priests who were rebuked for not offering their best. This is what God said about them. He said, "When you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably?" says the Lord of hosts. So they were rebuked for not offering their best, for not offering the best animal sacrificing. They were offering the blind, the sick. And then also we find in Matthew, Jesus said in the parable of the talents, the servants didn't all receive the same amount of gifts, which is a good point too. And Jesus said in this parable, "He also who had received two talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" The point here is we're not all alike in our talents, you know. So our offerings won't all be alike. But we're all to offer our best with what God gives us. We are to do the best with what God gives us. We are a royal priesthood. We are royal priests. Our purpose in life is to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. But to be acceptable, they must be made without complaining. The Lord said to the priests in Malachi's day, they complained. He says, "My name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations," says the Lord. But he says, "But you profane by saying, 'The Lord's table is defiled and its food is contemptible.' And you say, 'What a burden.' And you sniff at it contemptuous. I knew I was going to get tripped up with that word. Insultingly," says the Lord. And in the New Testament, Paul encourages us to do everything without complaining, without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. You know, when we complain, I think what it does is it shows, well, I'll just say it this way. When we don't complain, it shows God how grateful we are when we don't complain. It shows how grateful we are for what God has given us. Nobody likes complainers, do they? Do you like to be around complainers? Oh, yeah. I love to be around complainers. No. It's not very inspiring, is it? Now, the rest of this verse says, I'm going to read it again. Paul says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation." You know, and that's the thing, you know? There's so much negative going on in the world, isn't there? There's so much bad stuff. That's why we don't want to be around people that are complaining. There's already enough bad stuff going on in the world to have to put up with that. It's not inspiring at all. But look at that last part. Paul says, if you do everything without complaining, you will shine among them like stars in the sky. That's pretty cool. That's what I want. I want to shine. I want to shine like stars. In other words, this is a metaphor, isn't it? When we offer our sacrifices to God without complaining, God says we will shine like stars in the sky. You will be a source of inspiration to the people around you, to a world that is otherwise crooked and warped. Not a very nice place sometimes. And I love this analogy. Have you ever gone out at night, outside, and looked at the stars? To me, they're very inspiring, the stars. You know, but I think it's very difficult for people to believe that God exists because we can't see him. But what can we see? We can see the things that he's made. When we look at nature, that's why I love golf, by the way. I'm terrible at golf. I can't hit it in the fairway. But I love just going outside and enjoying. I might see a deer or something. And I enjoy nature. And I see God through his creatures. And I think when we look at the stars, it allows us to realize that it is possible that God exists. We see God through the things that he has made. And when we shine like stars in the sky, it means that people can see God through us. And that's what God wants. If we know God, then people should be able to see God through us, just like they see it through nature. We can have the same positive effect on people when they see our godly lives. When I was 20 years old, I dropped out of college for a semester. I think I got to the point I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And so finally it dawned on me, I wanted to be a teacher. And I don't think I ever realized it up to that point, but teachers were really a great influence on me. They were my shining stars, I guess, at the time. So for the next 30 years, I taught high school science. And my goal was to have the same effect on my students as my teachers did me. I wanted to be an inspiration. I wanted them to believe that they could do anything they set their minds to doing. And then shortly after becoming, shortly after my decision to become a teacher, when I went to Ball State, I was baptized into the Lord's body. And then I had a new set of shining stars because I saw an amazing group of people at Fairlawn Church of Christ in Muncie, Indiana. We had about 300 amazing people. Great shining stars. And here I see amazing people. Great shining stars. And that's the way it's supposed to be. God intends for us to be shining stars for not only the world, but to one another through our godly lives. And so that's the lesson. You are a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And I hope this lesson has been beneficial to you. And may God help us shine like stars in the sky. Help us to be a good influence on one another and to the world. Because we need it. We need that positive influence. At this time, we'd like to extend our Lord's invitation. If you have a need to be added to the body of Christ, we have a baptistry ready for that. Or if you simply need prayers of the church, whatever your need, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.